Street. I have two women who are going to talk about 4-H. Good morning, Katie.
Morning.
Nice to have you here. Katie Sweeney is, we'll find out more in just a minute about her involvement with the 4-H program here in Sitka. And then also Courtney Bobson is from Sitka Conservation Society's Alaskan Way of Life. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I didn't make your mic go up there the way it should. Hold on.
Scratch. Good morning.
Yeah, nice to have you both here.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in. So, Katie, you are a 4-H person.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get involved with 4-H?
Well, they asked the First Presbyterian Church if they would let us use the kitchen, and they did. And they helped us get the word out to other kids that might want to join.
And what does your particular club do?
Well, they decide on what they want to make next meeting. We make something, bake, leave some, and we eat some.
So you're a part of 4-H is a baking club?
Yeah.
That sounds really yummy.
Mm-hmm.
So after you bake, you leave some for the church people, and then you eat some.
Yeah.
And then do you plan ahead for your next meeting then?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us some of the things you guys have made?
Well, the first meeting we made shortbread cookies that we got. You could choose a flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Mint was green. Cinnamon was red. Lemon was yellow. And chocolate was brown.
Now, this sounds pretty creative for a baking club. Do the people in your baking club pretty much figure out what you're going to do each time? And or do you have sort of adults helping you? Or how does that work?
Well, we are trying to get the kids just running the club and just a couple of grown-ups to supervise.
Oh, that sounds pretty ideal. And what grade are you in now?
I'm in fourth grade.
And pretty much everybody right around your age group or some
yeah.
older kids and a little, maybe a younger kid or two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what do you think?
It's going really great.
All right. Now, you were telling me you're going to have a special event in March.
Yeah.
Can you tell our listeners about that a little bit?
Yeah. We're going to make some goodies for the bake sale for Let's Grow Sitka at the
A and B?
Yeah, A and B Hall at 10 noon to 3.
And that's in March sometime,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, March 10th.
So you're doing a fundraising for, and this brings Courtney into our conversation, for Alaska Way of Life. Can you give us a little information about that?
Yeah, so my role with 4-H is to have Alaska Way of Life programs. So what that means is trying to build community with the kids as it relates to the Tongass. So we try to get kids involved and try to get them out and experiencing the Tongass a little bit more than they would normally. So we have a whole range of programs we've done so far. We've done things like making Devil's Club salve. We've gone foraging for berries. We've taught kids how to identify mushrooms, a huge range of things. We've tried to get them out doing hiking. Over the summer, we had a summer hiking program during the day, and then we just ended our first night hiking series, which was really exciting. We had tons of kids come out night hiking. It was really great.
And where did you go night hiking?
We had three different spots we took them to. The first one was Totem Park. The second was Thimbleberry, and the third was the Cross Trail.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it was great.
And are those 4-H activities also? Or
they are, yeah. They're all through 4-H, but ours are more specifically Alaska Way of Life. Yeah, so Baking Club would also be considered 4-H, but we're all put together as 4-H, but we do different programs within it.
So you have some some programs, excuse me, coming up that are, well, you're still going to continue night hiking until it's not night anymore.
Right, yeah. We had asked the parents and kids if they wanted to continue night hiking, and everyone was really excited about it. So we're going to continue it. I think on Wednesdays, we're going to have a normal hiking series going on. And then, yeah, like you said, we'll night hike as long as possible, and then we'll just be hiking during the day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What other stuff do you have planned for, like, summer coming up?
Well, first in March, we have a few things happening. Paul Norwood, who's our AmeriCorps at SCS, is a naturalist, and he's going to be helping a lot with our programs. So he's going to be doing bait herring in late March. And he's also going to be doing bird tagging, and where the kids are going to go out and learn about bird tagging and why you do it and some data collection. So a little bit of scientific method in there. It's going to be really exciting. So that's coming up in March.
And bait herring?
Yeah, so we're going to teach the kids how to harvest herring and then use it for bait later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and then in the future, in the summer, we'll be doing different harvesting, I'm sure, different berries or goose tongue, devil's club, things like that.
Okay. So it sounds like the collaboration between Alaska Way of Life with SCS and 4-H has been a pretty good match.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. So, Katie, are you planning, are you going to continue your baking club through the summer, do you think?
I don't really know.
Not sure yet?
Yeah.
Any of the other things that you heard Courtney talk about, would you consider getting involved with from 4-H? Like the hiking or the bait herring or?
Maybe the bait herring.
Maybe the bait herring. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, and how did you make a connection at SCS with the 4-H part?
It had actually been established before I even became part of SCS. So when I got there, they had asked me if I would like to help facilitate Alaska Way of Life 4-H. So it stemmed from that.
Okay. So it's been around for a while then.
Yeah. For a few years, at least SCS has been helping spearhead the program a little bit. Yeah. But now we're trying to build more of a sense of community and have different parents or leaders of the community come in and offer different programs. So Katie's actually offering a baking club. But if any other parents or people in the community want to offer knitting clubs or, you know, any other crafts, any skill that they have, they're more than welcome to offer it through 4-H.
And it doesn't have to be a continuing, ongoing, forever sort of thing. It can be just episodal, I guess.
Right, yeah. So at least for Alaska Way of Life, we normally have series happening. So we'll have, say, in the month of March, every Tuesday we'll do something, or every Thursday, things like that. So it kind of rotates.
All right. Well, I'm going to be looking forward to your goodie sale in March at the AMB Hall, and that's a fundraiser for Alaska Way of Life. And anything else you need to leave us with before we let you go this morning?
Just a big thank you to the Whitey for giving us a grant, for giving Sitka Conservation Society a grant to help fund this Alaska Way of Life program. It's been phenomenal, and we're so appreciative to have that grant. It'll help us get more gear, more field guides. It'll be really great. It'll help really accelerate the program.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in this morning. Katie Sweeney is here, and she's a fourth grader that started a baking club with the help of Alaska Way of Life and 4-H. Thanks very much. Good to see you this morning.
You too.
And Courtney Bobson from Sitka Conservation Society.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Raven Radio is supported by Sitka Medical Center, offering internal and adult medicine with Dr. Robert Hunter, family and sports medicine with Drs. Tracy Collum, Kimberly Maris, and Don Lehman, and physician assistant Sharon Smotherman. Information is available at sitkamedical.com or 747-5861.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 25th of February, 2013. It's the birthday of Anthony Burgess, born in Manchester, England, 1917. Majored in English literature, joined the army. He was good at languages. He moved ahead in military intelligence, got a job with the British Colonial Service. He was posted to Malaysia, became fluent in Malaysian, taught in a boys' school, wrote novels for pleasure on the side. Went off to a teaching post in Borneo, started to get headaches, and then one day collapsed in front of the classroom. He was flown back to London, where doctors said he had a brain tumor, inoperable. He had 1 year to live, and he didn't have a job. He had no money to spend that terminal year traveling, so he started out to make money for his widow and wrote at a furious pace, wrote 5 novels in 1 year. And it turned out he did not have a brain tumor, and he did not die. Kept writing at a furious pace, outlived his wife by many years, eventually died of lung cancer in 1993, 30 books and 30 years later. Wrote his most famous book, A Clockwork Orange, in just 3 weeks in 1962, which was inspired by a tragic experience of his and his wife's. Soon after he was married, when his wife was pregnant, she was mugged by 4 young American Army deserters in London and afterward miscarried their child. A Clockwork Orange, set in future England, featuring a teenage anti-hero, Alex, who leads his gang of friends on acts of random violence, but in the end grows up and realizes that violence is a bore, and he wants to marry and have a child. That last chapter was cut off the American edition of A Clockwork Orange, and also left off the movie by Stanley Kubrick, which irritated Anthony Burgess, the fact that the novel and the film seemed to glorify sex and violence, and had left off the chapter about maturity and redemption. Here's a poem for today by Paul Hastowski, entitled Trombone Lesson. The 20 minutes from 9:30 to 10:50 is actually slightly longer than the 20 minutes from 9:50 to 10:10, which is half downhill, as anyone who's ever stared at the hillocky face of a clock in the 5th grade will tell you. My trombone lesson with Mr. Lester was out the classroom door and down the tessellating hallway to the band room, which was full of empty chairs and music stands, from 9:50 to 10:40, which is half an hour, and was actually slightly shorter than the 20 minutes that came before or after, which, as anyone who's ever played trombone will tell you, had to do with the length of the slide and the smell of the brass and also the mechanism of the spit valve and the way that Mr. Lester accompanied me on his silver trumpet, making the music sound so elegantly and eminently better than when I practiced it at home for hours and hours, which were all much shorter than an hour, actually, as anyone who's ever practiced the art of deception with a musical instrument will tell you, if he's honest and has any inkling of the spluttering, sliding, flaring, slippery nature of time, youth, and trombones. Paul Hastowski's poem Trombone Lesson from Bending the Notes, published by Main Street Rag Publishing Company and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Reputation.com, whose Reputation Defender service is designed to help businesses and professionals improve their search results. Learn more at Reputation.com. Produced by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Financial support for KCAW comes from C-Mart Quality Foods, offering fresh, hot French bread available daily, as well as cakes, pastries, breads, cookies, and other bakery items. C-Mart Quality Foods, located on Halibut Point Road, is open all day, every day.
This is Bird Note. A flash of glittering dark blue cuts through the gray of late February as a male tree swallow glides low over a cattail marsh. The tree swallow's liquid notes hint at spring's approach, where a broad green pasture meets the forest edge. There is a second, even brighter flash of blue. A male bluebird alights on a fence post. The intense blue of its back glints in the welcome sunlight of late winter. Tree swallows, and all 3 North American bluebird species, are among the earliest northbound migrants to arrive,
heralding spring a month before the equinox. Both species will nest only in cavities, such as old woodpecker holes or man-made nest boxes. The supply of such specialized nest sites is limited. Competition is intense. By arriving so early, tree swallows and bluebirds improve their chances of finding unoccupied cavities, and they may fiercely guard a nest site until April, before actually nesting. Both species benefit greatly from nest box programs, but it's crucial to put up only nest boxes with very specific hole sizes that encourage these flashy blue migrants, but deter non-native starlings and house sparrows. To learn about how to provide just the right home for tree swallows and bluebirds, come to our website, birdnote.org.
This station receives support from Harry Race Pharmacy and Photo, your locally owned Good Neighbor Pharmacy, with extended store hours and a pharmacist on hand 7 days a week. Located downtown at 106 Lincoln Street or on the web at whitesalaska.com. Harry Race, living local.
You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka, with translators K288CZ in Angoon, K296CX in Cake, K211BY in Yakutat, K211EP in Elfin Cove, K220BR in Tenakee Springs, K220CH in Fort Alexander, K219BA in Pelican, and K211BG in Sitka. Raven Radio is funded in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission, and by members like you.
Broadcast support comes from Shelter Cove Publishing, creating marketing solutions with web designs, brochures, business cards, photography, and branding for Southeast Alaska businesses, agencies, and nonprofits. Creating your visions. ShelterCovePublishing.com or 747-2860.
Good morning. It's 34 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW Sitka, Alaska, where we have blue skies. Right out front of the station here anyway. And a few clouds offshore there, but mostly it's pretty darn nice right now. And we've got east winds at 3 miles an hour, 10 miles visibility, and 33 degrees this morning. It's temperatures dropped a few degrees since I came in around 6 a.m., but you can sacrifice that, I think, for the blue sky. In the weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander, mostly cloudy. Some scattered snow showers in the morning. I think we've gotten through those. And scattered rain showers this afternoon. Highs around 42 with southeast winds at 10 miles an hour. Tonight, becoming windy with rain developing, lows around 35 degrees. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles an hour, increasing to 30 miles an hour with gusts to around 40 miles an hour late tonight. Tuesday, rain in the forecast with highs around 41. Southeast winds 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusting to around 40 tomorrow. And that's the forecast for Sitka and Port Alexander. In the tide table this morning at 6:24, we had a low tide of 1.9 feet. That means we're coming into a high tide at 12:23 this afternoon of 10.4 feet. That'll be followed by the evening low at 6:46 of minus 0.3 feet. And we've got time for a few community calendar announcements before we return you to National Public Radio's Morning Edition. Currently, for today anyway, Jan Straley will be presenting Baleen Whales and Tube-Nosed Seabirds, a chemosensory comparison. She asks that question, and that's today, noon to 1, at the Sitka Sound Science Center's Karsh classroom. Attendees may take lunches with them. There's a workshop on filling out the free application for financial student aid, or FAFSA, will be at 5 p.m. tonight at the University of Alaska Southeast Student Success Center on the second story for local and distance students. You can learn more about financial aid available at UAS by contacting April Wilson-Zuski at 747-7703. Sitka Summer Music Festival is holding a session for interested people to sign up for its Friends of the Festival program, 7 p.m. tonight. That's at Stevenson Hall on the Sitka Fine Arts campus. All talents, energies, and ages are needed. Light refreshments and a tour of Stevenson Hall will be provided. For more information, 747-6774. And turning to tomorrow, the Sitka Convention, and Visitors Bureau Board of Directors meets at 1 p.m. tomorrow in the Westmark Hotel dining room. Questions? 747-5940. Also tomorrow, the Sitka Food Cooperative Board of Directors meets on Wednesday, not tomorrow, at 1:30 in Harrigan's.